Good morning. This is Lauren Razor, Living the Wealthy Life, looking at the technology of all of this. Hopefully, I am coming in at the right time. We're just testing things out with the theme song that we have. Somehow I feel like I should be going into a game show this morning, but I'm glad you're up this morning and certainly take on the world. Not on your shoulders, of course, with the help of your friends. But part of what this show will do, and it will give you the spirit before you go out and get the spirit from the higher power, who I believe in strongly and have faith in, knowing that we've come a long way. And pat yourself on the back this morning to say you've come a long way. I know that you're struggling with so much in your life, so many people are, with health issues, with family issues, with husband, wife issues, significant other issues, whatever they are. You know, when you work at it and you hang in there, you will definitely see the miracle. My father last weekend on August 16th turned 83 years old, and my mom is 85. And, you know, that's significant because in their lifetime, they never thought they would ever live to see the first black president. So had they given up on themselves, had they thrown in the towel, my father has been a person who doesn't drink. He hasn't drank in over 50-something years, because he's here and he's alive to tell the story that there is hope, there is a life, there is so much out there, joy, if you just hang in there and go through the rough periods. I have learned from my great friends that are strong, that have cancer, that have major health issues, but they have been the individuals that have kept me going in many different ways. And you can't take yourself so serious. Some people say, why do I have comedy shows? And why do I assist in producing these types of shows? Because I kind of like to laugh. And I guess if I build my own show, I can laugh more often than I normally do. But wonderful things are out there. Take a break every once in a while. Go to a play on Broadway. Watch a great movie. I watched a movie with Meryl Streep, who, and among other actresses, are wonderful role models. I think Meryl Streep may be 70 or so, I'm not sure, but she's playing a role of 50-year-old women in the last movie that she was in. So, you know, there is, if you keep going and you keep yourself together, you keep your health, which is important, because where I am now is I just came out of a health club, Planet Fitness, because I'm on a mission also. You're not going to be able to run and do the things you need to do if you're not healthy. And if and exercise is something that really allows your mind and your body and your spirit to stay focused when it provides you with an outlet when everyone else is just crazy. You know, you have to look, I have to get to the gym, or I want to sculpt my body, you know, to make sure that my muscles are toned. All of those things are important outlets for you, and don't neglect yourself. So as part of what you're doing, do your best to take care of your health. Make sure you walk. Make sure you get out there and play paddleball or things that you used to do. But it's certainly, once your body begins to develop, become toned, you'll be so happy with yourself. That'll be your way of life. So good morning again, those of you who are listening out there. Living the Wealthy Life is about a holistic approach to our lives. It's about health. It's about faith. It's about self-management. It's about so many great things that I was inspired to write the book. It is my first book. Hopefully, by the end of this year or next year, I'll be on my second book, which I do have. But the first book, as I read it and people talk to me, I received a phone call from a woman in New Jersey and said that she read the book. It was in a library. Someone called me and talked about it. They found it in Barnes and Nobles. This is a book that's equivalent to Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's a book that you can talk about over and over and over again. And there are some other great books that sort of like the Bible, and I'm not comparing my book to the Bible, but it's a book that you can continue to read about success and how to sustain success. And those are the important things, sustaining success. I was inspired to write the book, because I had a client that was shot by Remy Ma. And I want to tell these young people, as she was sentenced and she's out now, she made it. I mean, she had a wonderful house. She was on her way in a greater career. And she threw it all away because of one fit of anger, madness, whatever you want to call it, that led her to committing the crime that she committed. So what Living the Wealthy Life was written for and about is to let people know that after you read these principles and you study these principles and you live by these principles, you'll have the greatest success that you've ever had in your entire life. Those of you who know me know that I keep at it and I keep going like the Ever Ready Bunny. That's what I do. I have a wonderful opportunity to work and serve the people of Mount Vernon in the highest capacity that a lawyer could be. And that is a job that is a career that I've had at the top of my career. Had I not been ready, had I not been focusing and refocusing myself and understanding my bad habits and trying to regrip and regroup of whatever the habits you have and dealing with all kinds of mental madness, I came out on top because I'm still here. And I can provide to the city the greatest representation and the most important representation that I could possibly give. Well, you know, just a comment. You know, we're in the middle. Mount Vernon is in the middle, like any other election. We have a crazy election with 50 Republicans. It's not that many, but 10 Republicans or 11, whatever. I mean, it's all crazy. Mount Vernon is no, you know, everyone begins to think that Mount Vernon is something different. It is one of the greatest cities that you could possibly live in. I think at times we just don't know it. So somebody has to tell us, stop the madness. Stop bringing down Mount Vernon with negativity. Understand, they want what we have. We're 26 minutes away from New York City. So remember Harlem. Harlem used to be a quote-unquote the worst place to live, but now it's a great place to live. All the Europeans are there. Nothing wrong with the Europeans being there. Nothing wrong with people of mixed race living in our community. But the fact of the matter is we of color always think that our community is the worst, but everybody else uses that tactic so we can be displaced and we can be divided. So we have to stop the madness among ourselves. I see it every single day, the kind of disrespect that the elected officials are getting and giving. And all because, you know, we want to obliterate each other. And we have to just stop the madness. You know, we have to know how to get in a room and make a determination regarding leadership. We don't have enough leadership that can focus our city. People don't want to do business with a city that's in chaos. So we have to come together and dialogue no matter what our differences are. We must come together and we must dialogue with each other. I mean, we have some great people running in Mount Vernon. They're all going to split the votes. So it's just going to be a race that's going to lead us down the path of really nowhere. And we have to learn to understand that we are a major, major hub of Westchester. And if folks could get a hold of Mount Vernon, if they could get a windfall of Mount Vernon will not look like the flavor that it's going to be, that it has been, if we don't stop. Anyway, that's my commentary this morning. I guess that's a commentary, I guess. Yeah, I watch it from the inside and from the outside. You know, stay focused. I had talked about that a week ago, how we should stay focused. Staying focused, you know, I say this every day. That's why, you know, I began to go back to the gym because, you know, we have to get back to why we do what we do. We're always, you know, we're always thrown off message so easy, so quickly, and then you have to have the ability to say, okay, you're not here to do this, but you're here to do that. What is your goal? Get back to the goal. You know, I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to be part of a system that, you know, may not be a system that operates. I'm here to make it better. My goal is to work hard. My goal is to give back to the people that I work for. And that's my focus. My focus has to be on doing the greatest job that I can do. That is my focus. To always remind myself when people come in and out of my office with shenanigans and nonsense, that I have to get back to the job. Are the taxpayers of the city that I live in, are they losing money? Are we putting together the kinds of control in the department that allow us to monitor our progress? So this is, and then I have to say, this is not about me. This is about the people that I serve. And this is what I have to keep focus on, not focus on who's going to lunch with somebody and who's doing this and that and all this other stuff. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to stay focused. And I say that because sometimes you can be doing a task and people can get you off message so quickly that you, you know, you begin to, you know, kind of get into what they're doing, you know, and that's really what we have to, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're popular, you know, it matters your credibility, and it matters your reputation, and it doesn't matter who likes it or who doesn't. Reputation is solid. My reputation is get the job done. My reputation is making sure that we have the best services for what it is that I do. That's my reputation. Like me or not, understand me or not, I don't have to prove. And people out there, you don't have to prove to anybody anything. It's not necessary for you to prove anything to anybody. It is what it is, as I say, and I say to people that know me, it is, I am what I am, and it is what it is. And that's basically the story there. One thing the book, as I'm discussing it and thinking about it, and my brother says, you know, you pick it up and look at it again. And as I started to pick it up and look at it again, the principles continue to jump out at me as I go through my daily life. And you know, what we are looking at sometimes is we have to really take inventory of ourselves at a time. We really have to regroup and look at ourselves at times. We need to take time to go over, and you need to take time with yourself. You need to have not just family reunions and barbecues. You need to have business meetings with your family to make sure that you're all on track. Are we buying houses? Do we have the ability to invest together? So when I look at the book, Living the Wealthy Life, all of the principles, when I look at it, give me a greater understanding of life. And it's a godsend because these principles didn't just, you know, these principles came from real life experience. So people ask me, how did I get these principles of success? Where did you get them from? How did you get them? Well, I got them from being a practicing lawyer for now over 25 years. And I can say in my 25th year, I'm still practicing. I'm absolutely happy that I've survived the legal practice in the way that I have. But, you know, you asked me about the principles and how we came to those principles. One, you know, from being a lawyer, I have a tendency to write things from a legal standpoint or the law. So 18 principles, easily said 18 laws of success, prosperity, and happiness. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Happiness. We've got to smile, and we've got to get to happiness. We've got to, that's your climb. And I guess when we say happiness, a friend of mine would probably say, get to the point of peace in our lives and be peaceful. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, in the life that I have, I meet a lot of different people. You know, and some people always say, well, you know, you shouldn't get along with that one, or you shouldn't, or that person is doing this to you, or that person is doing that to me. All the people that I've met, money is not really an issue, because the people that I've met have given me more than probably money could probably buy. So we have to sometimes look at what we do and why God has allowed you to be in the person's company in this first place. Maybe it's something that you will have learned that you couldn't learn no matter how much money you had. So we've had people that are millionaires that are pretty much miserable, generous to other people. And they did things for other people. They might be less miserable if they knew that they were able to help somebody in their lives. Maybe their hearts would be a little different, and maybe they would, in fact, be a little bit peaceful in themselves. Because at the end of the day, it is about who you've helped. Because when you leave this world, you want to leave this world in a better place than you came here. You want to make things a little better. You want to create a world for our children that's better than the world that we have now. It's a struggle sometimes, but the most important thing is to keep that in mind. So you don't know who you're meeting that will change your life in a better way. And so that's basically it on that topic. I mean, I don't know why I always talk about happiness, because what is it all about if we are not taking time to sit outside, to park, to experience the beach, to do all of those things, to visit our parents, to actually see them, which I have to say, I was not able to get to them as often as I should. And now I feel a lot better about, you know, being able to visit my mom and my dad. God has opened up the doors, so I was able to be with them at a critical time. I'm able to be, even though I'm still very busy, I'm able to be with the man in my life. I'm able to be with people and connect in a certain way, so I'm pretty pleased and pretty happy about that. So, because family and friends are really what it's all about. So really the bottom line to all of this is you have to try to carve out the success is fine. Prosperity is the money is fine. Happiness, though, is you can have all of that. You can have career success, money, but you may not get to number three. And we're going to keep talking about getting to number three. And that is happiness. What makes you happy? And those are the things that we want to get to. So I am pleased to have a book that talks about it. And it, you know, so like I said, the principles are 18, but they could have been not just principles or law. And I'm a lawyer, so I tend to write that way. And I kind of look at it as a way of reading something very easy. But it's not just reading it. It's taking it home and with your children. It's easy for your children to read if they're, you know, 18 going to college, because it's almost like you need to talk to your children about maintaining success. You know, you can get to success. Madoff was successful before he started stealing, but his mind was such that he threw his success all away, probably due to greed. Greed is an addiction, your addiction to the lifestyle and to the greed. We have to be more cognizant of what our addictions are, because our addictions will lead us, down the road to a place that we just don't want to go. So those are the things that we have to take a look at. And that's what the book really talks about. And I won't stop until we sell a million copies. Because every household, there's not a book that is authored by a woman of color that talks strictly about principles of success that will transform your life. And those are, when I go, I have an upcoming speaking engagement, and I will be holding a conference on the other side of 2016. And I want you to join me and share and join all of us in that conference to really talk about success, prosperity, and of course, getting to happiness. I guess someone who is probably looking at me waving my hands right now saying, when are you going to get to what you said you were going to talk about? It depends on what's on your mind and what's going on in the world. I'd like to always talk about that. Police shootings. We've had one in not a shooting, but someone, a woman, died in police custody, and we are investigating that. I will be talking about that on a show called Sister Talk, along with the mother of a young man that was killed in police custody. The mom's name is Miss Chavis, and I will be on that show. I don't know when it'll air. I guess it'll come up. Stay tuned. It'll come up on my Facebook page. But really, you know, we have to understand the mentality of the police, that there's no difference. Then if you look at the old movies in the 1920s, 1930s, they were beating the heck out of the Irish cops were beating up the Italians. There's always been a racial divide and a racial bias within the police department. It has always been there historically. Anyone who is in the authority or claims to be an authority over one person or over a group of people, there will always be that, what they call that level of abuse. So historically, the police department has been on the front lines in our community, and that they have always been the protectors of the owners, the landowners, the business people. They separate the people that live in the community, the consumers, from those, you know, protect their property, protect their businesses, protect their ownerships. The police are really no different than the people in the community. They are not the lawyers or that these are working class men and women that patrol our community. So it's really pitting one group of working class or poor against another group of just working class police officers. They don't have the status of the Madoffs or of the billionaires, of the Donald Trumps. They don't have that status. They may think they have that status. They may think they're part of a regime because Bush may have the color that they have. You're not Bush. I remember, this is kind of funny. I said, I remember during 9/11, all the firefighters were down there and the police were down there because of the losses of life. And President Bush came down there and he had on cowboy boots and, you know, he was dressed down like one of the guys, I guess. And I said, the only difference is probably his boots are probably $1,000. I said, he is not one, you know, they pretend to be, I'm one, he drank a beer. The gentleman, his family owns oil wells. He's not you. When he gets in trouble, he has people, lawyers that are 750 to 800 an hour that get him out of trouble. So, you know, this whole thing in which our capitalist government does, I just love it. Because we fall for it all the time. And we tell why we fall for it, because the level of racism. The government and the capitalists have convinced you who are poor, white poor, that you're better than a person that's of color that's poor. So you feel a lot better about yourself because you're making $33,000. And then another person of color is making $33,000. But because your skin is white, you believe you're better than a person of color. Stupid, you're still making $33,000. Stupid, you still lost your house to foreclosure. Stupid, you don't really understand that you're paying more taxes than more people have ever paid in any other country. So the fact of the matter is, we have always had this divide, and America is good at it. And people who have money will continue this shenanigans of division. I remember the mayor, I saw the mayor of Mount Vernon say something. He's so colorful. He really is. He said at a town hall meeting, he said, don't you get it? Yes, I'm saying the same thing. Don't you get it? So the police have always been a militarized force that protects the masses with money. And you won't come near them. You won't go past 96th Street. We won't allow this to happen. So there's no, it's really no change in the system. It's really no change. And so we have to understand that this is historical. And that's what we have to make sure we look at. This is an historical situation. Now, we are in a situation or in the process of trying to revolutionize. I don't know if things like Facebook, I talk about things that come to my head, and I'll get to the topic that we were supposed to discuss because I have some history behind it. But, you know, as we do things that are good, not things that are We do things that are expedient in this society that may not be good for us. And we just have to be careful. And I say to the parents out there, you know, make sure you monitor your children regarding Facebook, regarding Instagram, regarding all of this. And I know it's tricky because a lot of kids know how to get around, maneuver with the computer system and get around their parents. But you guys have to be very diligent, vigilant, and making sure that you understand what is going in the minds of your children. Those are the most important things. So, as we talk today about my special topic, and people have talked to me about it, is why we not as a race, why we are not as far ahead as we should be. And that is a topic that I'd like to talk about. In my book, I see it all the time. And I believe I learned from a friend. I have to say, I give her some credit in terms of brilliance because of her background to take words and change them into a positive. And I think I did it prior to meeting this individual who's in the arts. Taking words and making, you know, what you say is what's part of your thinking. And therefore, if you feel like you've had a bad day, she would always correct me and say you've had a challenging day. But, you know, you got through it, but your day was challenging, opposed to using the word bad day. So, prior to meeting her, I looked at the word jealousy. And when we talked about jealousy, you know, I see this all around. Women are jealous of each other. Men are jealous of each other. I mean, I've seen more. I don't know whether I've seen more jealousy, if that's the word for it. I've seen more. Jealousy is the symptom. It comes out as a feeling. And that feeling is, and you know, I'm coming up with, if someone can help me, I'm coming up with acronyms, or I'm coming up with an acronym for and developing a meaning out of jealousy. You know, and as I'm thinking about the word jealousy, I'm thinking about what each word, you know, what each letter in the word jealousy actually means. You know, I haven't finished all of the words, but I know I start with J, and it's jaded. Jaded, that means you have a perspective of life that's dark. Are you jaded? E, ego. Ego. You know, all of those are the feelings and the aspects create jealousy. Your ego. How dare they say something to you? It's your ego. You think you should be the one on top. Your ego says it. Inside jealousy, what I also know is that you're angry. The A is anger. And I'm going to continue to develop these letters. And those of you, if you can help me on Facebook to identify jealous, seated anger. And you're not angry with the person. You're really angry at yourself. The person is just a target. And matter of fact, let me take back E. E is, forget about E. I could do so much with E. Not just ego, envious. Then we go to anger. Then we go to lovelessness. And those are the things that we talk about when we begin to develop what is the emotion what is the emotion that is involved? What is your feelings that you are, what do you feel when you're dealing with the feeling of jealousy? So you have to get down to it. So say your boyfriend or your girlfriend out there does something. They talk to someone else in your presence. I mean, you become pissed off, crazy. Over an emotion just goes all through you, and you can't figure out why that emotion is there. And that's you asking for God to really help you, because it's an emotion that you can't understand by yourself. It's outside of you. I guess I gave you that O in the U. It's outside of you. It's something that you can't resolve yourself. You can't resolve it yourself. ES, jealousy. You, why? Why are you jealous? Jealousy is an important part of who you are. And I've seen so many people who act as a people, as a group, that will pull down an entire group because they can't come to grip with enviousness, jadedness, anger. They can't come to grip with a loveless life. It's them. They don't know how to deal with it. So I'm repeating this for a reason, because it's not just the word, I'm acting jealous. It is you, up to you to do something about it. Next week, I'm going to have as I'm thinking in my head with the J and the E and the A and the L and the O and the U and S, Y. I've seen people get killed. I've had cases, people get killed. Women get hurt. Men get hurt over this feeling, jealousy. People will stop you. So it's pretty serious. It's serious on an individual level, but it's really serious where your jealous behavior stops the progress of an entire group. When your jealous behavior stops the progress of an entire group, my Latino brothers, and that's, I'm stereotyping right now. I can tell you right now, I am stereotyping because I know what I'm saying. Not everything is true. But my Latino brothers are inspired, and they truly provide assistance and help, and I've seen it. The bond will not be broken if it's a Dominican with a Dominican. I've seen it before. Now, I'm not saying there's not hatred within the Dominican community and people don't like each other and so forth and so on. But when it comes to progress, I've seen they put those feelings aside. They will not go behind each other's back and stab each other behind the back. When they move as a block. They look at progress, a progress for all. They're an example of those individuals that are inspired inspired progress of their people. They're not, they don't have. Now, I'm not saying that they're not jealous within their group, or I'm not saying that, but it doesn't equate into holding down the progress of the group. So we look at it starting individually, because individually that spills over into your church groups, into your civic groups. If one leader is jealous of another person, progress will not be made. That individual will be making decisions based on an emotional basis of jealousy. They will go out of not to work with you and do all kinds of conniptions because they are jealous. Maybe set you up, do all kinds of crazy stuff because they are jealous. So we have to examine, next week we'll do that, we'll have to examine that emotion of jealousy and how we can turn it into being inspired. Well, I could say to you next week, Living the Wealthy Life is continuing on this topic of being inspired and not jealous. It's a major chapter in the book of Living the Wealthy Life, and it's something that needs to be discussed because our kids get this emotion, have this emotion, and they hurt each other because they have this emotion. And if we don't talk to our kids how to deal with this emotion, you have the people that are fighting in school, bullying, all kinds of things. Have a great week. Be inspired, not jealous. Change your language. Change it to positive language. We'll show you during this show as to how to positive life, living the wealthy life. We'll see you. Well, I guess I won't see you, but I will talk to you next week, and I pray and hope that you have a great week. Have a nice day.